It's a long sermon. I need a big bottle of water. So a month ago this year, nearly this very week, I went on pilgrimage to the Holy Land. If you ever have the opportunity to visit the place where Jesus lived, I encourage you to do so. You'll never listen to the lessons at church with the same ears again. Instead, when you hear the stories of the Bible, you will see the places, the landscapes, the people. You'll hear the sounds and smell the scents carried on the breezes. You'll relate to the Bible in a whole different way. During one of our full and rich days in the Holy Land, our group made the trek from Bethlehem down to the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan flows out of the Sea of Galilee through the countryside, and finally empties into the Dead Sea below Jericho. It was cold on that January day in 2016 on the plains outside of Jericho, but who can resist going to the place where Jesus was baptized? I brought back a sample of water from the Jordan River. Who can resist dipping a toe or finger, even in the dead of winter, into the water that played such a role in Jesus' life? As I stood at the Jordan, I imagined a Palestinian man standing there, dressed in animal skins. And this man was preaching. He was proclaiming a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. And I imagined around him there was this whole crowd of people gathered. And some in the crowd, yes, were Pharisees and Sadducees checking out this interloper, this person who was drawing people away from the synagogue and the temple. But how many more of the people there came with a genuine hunger for God? People came to John the Baptist. They listened to his invitation to live differently. They confessed their sins, and they were baptized in this river. John offered his hearers a chance to start over. Where they feared they had messed up their lives, where the Pharisees and the Sadducees told the people they weren't careful enough about the law, they weren't pure enough, they hadn't offered the right sacrifices, they weren't good enough. John told them, it's okay. The past is past and the future is wide open for a different kind of life. John's listeners may have thought that they had broken off their relationship with God, but God had never given up on them. It wasn't too late for them to repair their relationship with God, with each other, and with themselves. And among this motley group of refugees from organized religion, among them, who do you think showed up that day? It was Jesus. I don't think anybody was more surprised than John the Baptist. What are you doing here? John asked. John knew Jesus. They belonged to the same extended family. Their mothers were especially close. John knew Jesus' reputation as smart, knowledgeable about the law, holding court both in the synagogue in Nazareth and the temple in Jerusalem, amazing all the teachers with his own questions and answers about their law. Jesus was the smartest, kindest, purest, most moral, most just, most virtuous person that John knew. And so John asked Jesus, what do you mean, baptize you? What sin have you committed? What need have you to repent and change your life? Who is closer to God than you are? But Jesus just said, it's okay, John. It is good and right for us to do this. Jesus knew what he was doing. Jesus, in all his amazing humility, was making a choice. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the King of Israel. Jesus, who could find ready welcome in the debates of the rabbis or the discussions of the priests. Jesus had found these who were gathered around John to confess their sins and be baptized. These were his people. When Jesus looked around to see where God was at work in the world, he found this was the place where God was changing lives, forgiving sins, healing broken hearts. And as God in the flesh, Jesus knew that this was his mission. Jesus could stand in solidarity with all the most despised deplorables of his day, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the lepers, the foreigners, even those occupying Roman soldiers. Because it was precisely among these people, these who were poor in spirit, these who were not too proud to know their need, these who were ready for a change, it was among these that the kingdom of God was coming in all its power and beauty. And so John, a little confused, a bit befuddled, John took Jesus at his word and did what he asked. But all the time that he was baptizing Jesus, I'm sure John had a questioning look in his eye. John's questions were answered as soon as Jesus came up out of the water. The heavens opened up, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "Jesus, you nailed it. You didn't screw that up." That's my own translation from the Greek. And that's what happened. John was very much a prophet in the classical sense. He was taking these ideas about God that had grown too stale, too institutionalized, too remote from ordinary, real people with ordinary, real, complicated lives. And John broke those ideas open and brought them back to God's people. John was laying the groundwork for the mission of God to be carried out by the Messiah. And that whole mission of God can be summed up in the sacrament of baptism. Baptism is about forgiveness. It's about standing in the presence of God and taking the ugly parts of your life, holding them up to the light and saying, what are we going to do about this? Baptism is about realizing it's never too late. You have never moved too far from God. Nothing is unforgivable. Jesus did exactly that. He healed where no cure could possibly be imagined. Jesus created possibility and connection where, according to the world's judgment, there had been only brokenness and alienation. Jesus reminded people of this fundamental truth of reality. You, Carolina. You, Trish. You, Ted. You, Wiley. You are the object of God's delight. We claim that same truth for our children when we baptize them, covenanting with them, covenanting to raise them with the same gifts and responsibilities to which we have bound ourselves, to love God, to love neighbor, and to know themselves first and foremost as objects of God's delight. Once you have been baptized into Christ, you, like Jesus, have come to a turning point in your life. You too are on a mission from God. The mission that you and I share is precisely that mission of Christ to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the sick, to proclaim forgiveness. Now, the healing that God conveys through me might look different from the healing that God conveys through you, and probably neither of us will experience exactly the same kinds of healings that Jesus did as he walked in earthly ministry. But just because I don't walk around healing people who have been born blind doesn't mean that I can't be faithful to convey God's power the ways that God does choose to work through me, with a kind word or a quiet presence, a gentle touch, or a warm embrace. Today we will recount our baptismal covenant. We will remember the promises that we have made. We will consider how baptism shapes our lives, the privileges, the responsibilities, and the opportunities it affords us. If you have not been baptized, what is holding you back? And if you have been baptized, how's that working out for you? How is that shaping and defining your life? And wherever you are on your spiritual journey, where do we go from here?